The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Comfort eating or emotional eating at the moment, but for some people, overeating becomes an actual addiction. And on the line now from County Meath is Marie, who struggled with this issue for a long time. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning, Brendan.
And look, you're going by your first name today, Marie, which is in keeping with the anonymity of Overeaters Anonymous, which you're going to tell us about. Tell us first about overeating as an actual addiction. How did it develop for you?
Okay, so I just have always struggled with my weight. I've always been overweight. I mean, I look at childhood photographs and I can see in my early years I was quite skinny. But as I got older into my teens and that, I put on weight and people would say, oh, it's puppy fat, don't worry about it. But it kind of progressed slowly over the years. I got married when I was 20. That didn't work out. So I went off to America, and over there, even when I'd come back for a visit, my father would say, Mother of God, what are they feeding you over there? Because I just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I tried absolutely everything. I did all of the clubs. I joined health clubs. I spent a fortune. I did diet pills. I did exercising. I did gyms. And I'd lose a bit of weight, but I'd always put it back on and more. And then I'd struggle to lose that extra bit. And it just was impossible. And it just kept going throughout my life. I came home to Ireland in 2000 and I was 23 stone. And again, I joined up to, you know, Slimming World and Weight Watchers and everything. And I saw loads of people around me constantly losing. But I would lose, put on. But I kept putting on more than I was losing. And it just got to the point where I was just in complete despair about it. And I just didn't know what to do. And I was just... I was getting sicker and sicker. And that was really worrying me because my whole system, I was just suffering from pains all over my body. I'd gotten arthritis. I got a hip replacement. I had stomach issues, bowel issues, breathing issues. I had all kinds of health problems now because of the overeating. So it really was taking me down. I was getting very, very sick. I was just lived in constant shame and just it was just horrible.
Okay, Marie, I'm going to interrupt us for a couple of minutes because I want to talk to you more. But can you just bear with me because I just need to take the Angelus now in the news, and then we'll pick it up there at the shame after the news. Okay, I'm talking to Marie, who is a member of Overeaters Anonymous, and Marie, you were just talking about all the health issues you had around your weight and your eating and everything, but. I swear you were talking about the shame and about the issues in your life and everything. So I suppose it's clear that what there was here was a more fundamental underlying emotional problem is what you had really as against a kind of a physical problem.
Well, I think the overeating, since I've coming into OA, I have a better understanding that, yes, it is... It's your mind and your body, and it's like a spiritual malady, we call it, or the need for psychic change in that you change the way you react to life. Because my reaction to life was basically to eat. So if I was disturbed or restless or irritable, I would eat. I did everything. My reactions to life was just to eat. That's
so if you had a feeling at all, really, and any kind of negative feeling, you would eat?
Yeah, that's where I found my solution that became my comfort, my ease. And that's how I avoided life, you know, avoided feeling, I guess, and processing. Or I didn't know how to.
Yeah.
And like I was very competent and efficient and effective in my work in lots of areas of my life. But when it came to my weight, I was just hopeless, couldn't deal with it. Did everything, but couldn't deal with it.
And then I suppose you talked about going to kind of more what you might call diet kind of clubs and setups before. And look, they work for a lot of people and everything. But I suppose Overeaters Anonymous then is a very different kind of an approach, isn't it? It's not even really about losing weight, is it?
No, it isn't at all. We don't have diet sheets. We don't have weighing scales. It's completely different. And there is nothing wrong with the clubs or anything else. I'm not criticizing or putting them down at all. But we are like alcoholics. There is a number of us, like you might have an off button when you're eating that you've had enough. Like it blows my mind when I'm in a restaurant and people order desserts and they take one or two bites and leave it at that. And yeah. I just can't. I'm looking and I'm horrified and I'm like, how can you leave the rest there? And I want to say, give it to me. I'll eat it because I love sugar. I love anything starchy, flour, butter, sugar, mix it together, any form, and I will be as happy as that. I'd skip my main meal for my dessert. So I had that addiction. It's an addiction. So it's beyond the average normal eater. We have a lot of people out there can put on a few pounds. I imagine a lot of people are putting on a few pounds in COVID and they can put their mind to it and lose it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that I'm a weak or lesser person. I have an addiction that I have to deal with and I have to learn that. And I learned that in OA when I went to OA. I went to it very reluctantly, I will say.
Did you, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I did. I was talking to a friend one day and I was just like in total despair about my weight. And I don't usually talk to people about it because everybody and their mother has a remedy for me that just doesn't work. So I wouldn't talk much. But I talked to this friend and she had suggested that while she had a friend that she'd actually introduced me to a year prior and said that she'd had incredible success in this thing called Overeaters Anonymous. And I was horrified. I thought, oh my God, I'm not that bad. To me, that was kind of like for really, really bad people. Like, not bad people, but I wasn't that bad. So it took me about a year to walk in there. And in fact, that girl that she talked about was sitting there, but I didn't recognize her because she'd lost 11 stone. And she was such a happy person. But she came up to me because she recognized me. I didn't recognize her. And I was blown away by that. And I cried through my first meeting because for the first time in my life, I battled in my head all the time with this. It was a very lonely place to be because you can't talk about it openly. And when I was sitting in the room in my first meeting, listening to people tell my story, and I heard all my struggles, all my internal torture being talked about, that other people were experiencing it as well. And I began to get that identification with them, but also to not feel like I was a complete loser.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it was just mind-blowing.
I can imagine that you just suddenly felt understood and realize you're not alone. And it's a 12-step program similar to Alcoholics Anonymous. I suppose what most people would know about the 12-step program is that fundamentally you kind of put your faith in a higher power, surrender to a higher power, I suppose, as you understand it, isn't it? So is that how it worked for you?
That's it. It's definitely based on the AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. We call it the Big Book or the Blue Book, and the 12 steps are in there. So you get a sponsor that brings you through the 12 steps, and you start to see and you wake up and you get this. It's a spiritual program, and we do say higher power because you don't have to believe in God to come in to the room. The only qualification for coming to OA is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And that includes bulimia. It includes over-exercising. It includes anorexia. It includes any form of kind of abuse with food, addiction. So, yeah, I think I answered your question.
And listen, in terms of, right, if an alcoholic goes to Alcoholics Anonymous, they will usually, they give up drink if they're lucky. and then they have to not drink forever. But presumably you have to eat. So you actually have to rebuild some kind of a functional relationship with food then, do you? Are you able to enjoy your food without being tempted to binge now?
I do, Brendan. I had to have a complete change in that. You know, alcoholics still drink tea, water, and the big book doesn't tell us to stay away. Like an alcoholic, once they have a grip on their own recovery, you know, we don't say stay away from the bars or people who are drinking, because what happens when you do the program is you get neutrality. And what that means is that I could be around a dessert table now, whereas before, anywhere I went socially, I'd be sitting at the dessert table, eating. But I could be sat there now and it might as well be cardboard. I don't care. I don't want it. I'm not interested. I could never do that for myself. But going through this program brings you to a place that you can get neutrality around food. We have a leaflet called Dignity of Choice. So we don't have diet sheets and all, but what I do now eat for is nutritional value for my body. But say like portion sizes, I had no idea how much food was enough because I had no off button. Yeah. I would eat till I nearly just couldn't put any more in and I'd still want to eat more. But what I do now is I might weigh and measure my food. Like in the beginning, I weighed and measured everything. Just to simply learn how much is a normal portion, because I had no idea. Now I do know. And I love my food. I love food and I really enjoy my food. I am not on a diet at all. I just have certain foods, like an alcoholic can't drink alcohol, but they drink other things.
Okay, so you have trigger foods, do you? Foods.
I have trigger foods. I can't. My trigger foods would be sugar, flour and butter, put them together, really desserty kind of things.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but I might have a few other things. Like for a while, I battled with yogurt. You know, I could put a bit of yogurt over fresh fruit thinking that was fine. But then I'd go out and get the tub of yogurt and finish it off. And I thought, OK, maybe I need to take yogurt off my list.
And Marie, before I let you go, has lockdown presented any challenges?
Lockdown? Well, it has. It has and it hasn't. It has in that this is a very secret disease. It's something you keep secret, but we're only as sick as our secrets. Lockdown can help you. It gives you a free for all. When we went into lockdown at first, I just thought I can eat whatever I like now. I'm not going to meetings. I'm not going to be there. But we have meetings. I have more meetings now than I ever had before lockdown. I can call people every day. I can go to Zoom meetings all over the world. I go to New York. I go to Germany. I go to anywhere. Australia. There's meetings 24/7, round the clock. And I can get all the support that I need. But I have to pick up the phone. I have to turn on the Zoom. I have to go. So it's in my hands in some respect. But I want the recovery. I have peace of mind now that I never had before. I have peace about my body that I never had before. And why would I not go every day to this? So lockdown has actually opened up OA to everybody, because you can sit in the comfort of your own home, go to a meeting. Whereas before I traveled an hour to a meeting once a week. Now I have access to OA every single day. But sure, it would be much easier to eat more now because I'm not going out, I'm not doing anything. But I don't want to. That's the difference. The difference is I have that neutrality.
Okay.
But I don't want to.
And Marie, we'll put up information about Overeaters Anonymous on our website. And also there's a list of organizations to do with addiction on rte.ie/helplines. And actually, the Bodywise have been on to say that the first week in March is Eating Disorders Awareness Week, and the focus is binge eating disorder. And there are lots of events for that. And you can see bodywise.ie. Marie, thank you so much for talking to us so honestly today. And I think that was really interesting. And I think it will have been really helpful for a lot of people. Thanks, Marie.
Thank you.